services they had at the jail this week. Between those three services, they had 17 people accept Christ. And that's a praise. They are giving out Bibles. And it was shared with me that the Gideons had basically given Bibles to the jail for them to give out. And it worked out that they wanted them to check them out or they wanted to buy them or something. So Brother Tom and Brother Cyril are actually providing Bibles. They're writing these men's names in them, and they're excited to be able to get them. Now, I want you, if you got your Bible, hold it up. Even if you're reading it on your phone, hold it up for just a minute. We want to thank God for the freedom that we have, okay? You are living in the day that you could have one of these. Do you know that it wasn't just a few hundred years ago that people would go to church and they didn't have one? When you go back to the days, there was a time when the Latin Vulgate was actually chained to the pulpit because the common man did not have a Bible that he could read from. So you had to depend on what the preacher said. Now, if the preacher gets out of line, it's your job to stand up and say, oh, that ain't what the Bible says. Right. Now, here's a word for you. If you don't read it, how would you know?
That's right.
So I'm thankful for what God's given me. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful, Brother Tom, for those men being saved.
Amen.
You say, well, does God save criminals? Well, he saved Paul.
Amen. Yeah.
Study who God used. I made this comment recently. We were in Bible study, and we do have Bible study on Wednesday night at 6:30 for the ladies, and then we have a men's class. You know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Yeah.
And he does not do what he does because of us. He does it in spite of us. So when you start beginning to wonder or think about what God does or who God uses or how God does it, it's really, remember our motto, it's all about him. Okay, just a couple of things to remember. Let's continue to pray for Miss Doris Lemming. She had fell and broken her shoulder. And Brother Mike, that God would give them strength. We miss them when they're not here. And let's also pray for Alicia. She's gone on a retreat that I'm sure she needs that rest and time. But let's pray for her. And remember me and Luke being without Kendra. She's still in California. And you know, I miss my wife. She's the love of my life. But, you know, when you have to do your own laundry and, you know, I told her one time, I said, if I was, you know, a bachelor living by myself, I said, I'd have two laundry baskets. I'd have one for the clean, one for the dirty. You know, you ain't no use in folding something and putting it in the drawer. You're just going to wear it.
Amen. Amen.
She reminded me the other day we were talking. She said, you know, you put the lights in this basket, the darks in this basket, and your white clothes go over here, and your towels over here. And she said, you cannot wash them together. And I said, well, she's not here. I'll try to do as good a job as I can. But she has tried to train me. She's taking care of our grandkids today. As my daughter and my son-in-law had started a church out in California right away, and I thank God for that. They won a couple's marriage retreat at their church, and that's one of the reasons she went out there. So thankful for that. Thankful also, Brother Tommy, wanted me to mention, thank you to all the people that came out and worked yesterday. We had a large crowd, I understand, that's here, and we're thankful for that. I was beginning to wonder if Brother Tommy would actually hold true, if he would have enough biscuits or if he'd have to make a biscuit run. But we're thankful. Couple of quick announcements. Remember the Thanksgiving praise service. It is two Sundays away. Thanksgiving is obviously coming up, but the Sunday before Thanksgiving, November the 19th, we have our Thanksgiving praise service, and we're going to have a group here. The group is called Second Coming, and they come to worship the Lord. People I've known a long, long time, so we'd like for you to be with us there. And next Sunday morning, November the 12th, we're going to have an ordination in our morning service. Now, we've done that once in a morning service. It will give you an idea and an understanding. If you've never experienced one, I think it'll be a blessing to you to be able to see what it's like and what we believe based on the Word of God. So, if you got your Bible, let's go to Psalms chapter number 57. This is just something that's been on my heart all week long. I remember when I was a young man and God was dealing with me about preaching. I don't know if preachers understood how much I listened to them But the preachers in my life, and I can still remember some of those, I guess you'd call them write it down statements. But I can remember being down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church down in Bolton area. That's the church my dad pastored for so long. But there was a preacher that came to preach a revival. His name was Wayne Daniel. And he was there, and I remember standing out. I used to get around these preachers and talk to them. And I'll tell you this much. I learned more from being around men of God than you'll ever learn in Bible college. Okay, and being around men of God. And I remember talking to him, and he was telling me, and I don't know if he understood how I was pulling this in. He said, but when you are called by God, you are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. And I was listening to him. And he said, you know, and I asked him something about a message. He said, well, I don't pick them. I just preach them as God sends them. Amen. Sometimes people say, well, I've heard that before. Well, you probably hear it again if you hang around long enough. Because it depends on when God sends it. Yeah. I remember one time I was down at Clay Road Baptist Church. Pastor's name's Harold Lowry. Great man. Man of God, a man that loved God's people. And I remember when he got up in the pulpit, and I was just a teenager at the time, but he got up there and he said this. He said, I can tell how much a preacher is worth by how much he loves God's people. And I just listened to that. Because that man was a man that loved God and he loved God's people. And I'll tell you what inspired me in my relationship with God is that I have been around people who were impactful in my life by the way that they lived in front of me. The way that they love God, the way that they love God's people. And I'll say this, the way they love God's word, and they love being in the house of God. Okay? Now think about that. I remember one time I gave a little testimony on Sunday school, and I read that verse out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. You know, think about this. If you love God, I believe you'll love God's Word. Just something to think about. What I want to share with you this morning out of Psalms chapter 57 is the importance of getting your heart fixed. Now, I want to read a definition here in just a minute of what fixed is, but let's read the Word of God, and maybe you can see and figure out what that is. But the 57th Psalm in the first verse says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High, unto the God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue as sharp as a sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down. Yea, they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp, and I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Amen. Over in the book of Psalms in 108, in verse 1, the scripture says this. It says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Now, if we go back to the 57th Psalm, and you look at verse number 1, in the latter part of the verse, He said, I will make my refuge until these calamities or these storms be overpassed. Now, one thing to understand, Christian, is just because you're a Christian, it does not mean that you will not have storms in your life. It does not mean that you will not have difficulty or you will not have trouble or you will not have times. The reality of it is that you will look around and you will question what's going on. You'll question where you're at. You'll question why you're in the midst of that situation and how in the world it's going to be that you'll ever be able to survive or get out. How can I get past the situation that I'm in? You know, sometimes with Christians, we'll start out and we'll be on the right path. But as short as our life is still long. You know, I realize my life is short when I look around and I see the growth of my children. And I realize, and I was coming down the road yesterday and I was driving, and, you know, in just a few months, I will be at the age that my dad was when he passed away. And I looked around and I thought about my children and I thought about where they're at and I thought about their age and I thought about the age that I was when my dad passed away. I've thought about some of the storms that I've faced in my life. And, you know, sometimes storms come because they just come. Sometimes storms come in your life because you make them. You know, but either way, I want us to understand that in order, if we're going to survive, if we're going to get past it, if we're going to be able to deal with the things that we're dealing with in our lives, there's something that's going to have to happen. And that's exactly what this scripture is talking about, is we are going to have to get our heart fixed. And what I want us to understand, just looking at a couple of definitions of fixed. In this place, fixed means this. It means securely placed or fastened or fastened, firmly set in mind or settles. Or you could even say this, not volatile. You know, we could come to church one Sunday and, you know, we could be excited. We could be here. We could be healthy. Our children could be with us. You know, we could have the hair in the right place. And you could come in and people say, oh, you sure do look good today in the house of the Lord. You know, it's amazing sometimes how 1 week's time can change. You come in the next week and you've gotten some bad news, or maybe everybody's not there. Maybe something has come in your life and, you know, you're wondering, how was it that I was here a week ago and I was just so at peace and things seemed to be so right, and here I am today. And the difficulties seem to be overwhelming. You know, another definition of fixed means to be corrected or set in order. Now, what I want you to look at or think about is securely placed or fastened or fastened. It's very important if I'm going to be able to survive and serve God for the long term. And here's what I want you to understand. Whether I'm in the storm or I'm on the mountaintop, whether the sun is shining and the blessings of the Lord are flowing to me, or whether I am seemingly in the deepest, darkest valley, how do I survive? How do I make it? How do I go to the next place? I think you have to have your heart fixed, or you have to have your heart fastened in the right place where that your relationship with God is what God wants it to be, so that no matter what storm comes, no matter what difficulty comes, no matter what you're facing, your relationship with God is what it's supposed to be, so that you can withstand all of the troubles and the trials of life. Because God wants you to show the world His honor and His glory in the difficult times as well as in the good times. You see, it's easy for us when everything is good and when everybody's together and when all the bills are paid and when everybody's healthy and all your children can be found and you're not wondering where your loved ones are to stand up and talk about how good God is. But I want to tell you, when the storms come and the difficulties begin to come and the clouds are rolling in and you're dealing with the troubles of life, it's a different thing to stand up and just say, I just want to give God some praise this morning. But if we get our heart fixed, we'll be able to do that. Okay? I want us to look at this scripture and I want us to see some things. The first one comes out of these first couple of verses. And what I want you to see here is Christian and non-Christian. There's a difference. The Christian has a relationship with God that when the storms do come, we have one to cry out to. We have one to call to. When the doctor's note comes and they tell us that the worst has happened and the test results have come back, we have one that we place our hope in. There's a world that doesn't know God, that doesn't have the ability to fall on their knees and cry out to Him and know that He hears them. How many times have you heard people, I've seen the cards at work, they pass them around. So many people say, I'm praying for you, we're praying for you. But do you really pray for them? Do you really have a relationship with God so that you can pray for them? Because everybody wants God's help and they want God's touch when the difficulty comes. But if you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't know God, the only prayer God's going to hear from you is one of salvation. You see, if you're lost, you've got to know Him as your Savior, because troubles are going to come. And what we need to do, number one, is we need to get our heart fixed in the area of our circumstances, because troubles will come. You see, over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the scripture says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. Now, folks, I've been going to church long enough that what I'm about to share with you, I've heard multiple times in multiple places. Why is it that I keep trying to live for God and I keep trying to serve God, and it seems like the more I try or the harder I try, the more difficult it gets? Now, you know, if you're one of those people that's never had that in your life, you will. And you may think that you're strong and you may think that you're in a position that you're just okay. You might just get be tried. Or I want you to consider something else. If the devil's not after you, if you're not having difficulty, you may not have it at all. Because I want you to understand something. It says, think it not strange. It's like, why do these things keep coming up in my life? I remember one time, the first church that I was pastoring, I was standing out on the front, you know, just like Baptist love. And it's great to together in fellowship, by the way. Okay, being in a church when everybody runs to their car is not a good thing. Okay, but I can remember standing out on the front porch and I was talking to a young man, and he said, you know, I have decided that I'm going to serve God. I've dedicated my life to God. And he said, why is it that the more I try to serve God, the more the devil tries to come after me? Because you're serving God. You see, you need to get your heart fixed in the area of your circumstances, because you never know what's coming. Financial troubles could come. You say, oh, I'm in good shape. Don't trust this world. Don't put it before God. Don't put your job before God. You know, I look at that stock market stuff all the time, and sometimes I catch myself, God, please turn it green. God, put your hand on it. But how can we trust in the things of this world? Our trust and our supply comes from God. Amen. What about job and career troubles? You know, these young people, we pray for you. That God would guide you and He would show you the path that you're supposed to go. You know, it's one thing to be starting out in life, but I want to tell you, I can remember having Sunday school in 2010, and I had a class full of people, and we had request after request after request where people had lost their job. And they were praying that God would provide a job, because they had children to raise. They had bills to pay. And you say, well, we're not there now. We could be. We could be. What about relationship troubles? I want to tell you something, folks. Without God, I don't know how people make it. Because with God, I see sometimes people struggling to make it. Why? Because they're not equally yoked if they don't know the Lord. But if they are equally yoked, sometimes without the Lord and without prayer, you're still going to have so much difficulty living in this life. The But you're going to have your heart fixed. You see, I think the greatest thing in a relationship is not how much the man loves the woman or how much the woman loves the man, but it's how much you love God. Because there are going to be times that it's going to be whether or not your heart is fixed, that's going to be the one sole provider that determines whether or not you're going to make the right decision. Because sometimes, even in Christian relationships, you need to find the altar to get things right. But if your heart is not fixed in the right place, how can you do that? What about church and fellowship? You know, we just get along so well, it's wonderful, isn't it? But what if I said, I want tan chairs? And Brother Tommy, he said, no, we want orange chairs. And then a couple of the ladies, they speak up and they say, no, we don't want tan, we don't want blue, we want another color. That's trivial, isn't it? But I'll tell you something, folks, I've seen people argue about colors in the hall, colors in the nursery. I've seen them argue about whether or not this is done or that's done. I want to tell y'all, y'all know why we're here. We're here to serve God, to worship God, so that we can reach the community for the cause of Christ. And sometimes what we need to do is put our personal feelings aside and let God have the glory. But if your heart's not fixed in the right place, you just might be the cause of a mess. What causes church splits? I'll tell you exactly. Somebody does not have their heart fixed in the right place. Now, folks, most of the time it's not necessarily a member sitting in the pews, but it could be a preacher that's not right with God. Could be a chairman of the deacons that's not right with God. But sometimes what we need to realize is we need to get our heart fixed in the right place in the midst of our circumstances so that we can be able to do and move and go forward the way that God wants us to do. You know, I've learned in my life that sometimes crow tastes good. What are you trying to say? When you're wrong, just say I'm wrong and go on and do what's right. So your troubles will come, but here's something to understand. If you're not careful, if your heart's not fixed, your troubles will blow you off course. You see, what I want us to understand, we need to get our heart fixed so that our troubles do not blow us off course. And even as Christians, how many times have we said or we heard somebody say, oh, what's the use? What's the use? Why should I go on and continue and try doing the right things? Why should I stay true to what is right? If you consider how I've been treated, if you consider where I'm at, I've been trying to do the right thing, and look where it's got me. Be careful. Be careful. You see, because God has a plan for your life. And right in the midst of your storm, Christian, God is there. He's never led you or anyone else out in the wilderness to leave you there, but God is there. You know, sometimes the Word of God and some of the things that are in here for us, and we need to read them, we need to absorb them, and we need to understand what God's trying to say to us. In James chapter 1, verse number 2, the Scripture says this. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, whether you like it or not, when you're going through the storm, guess what it's doing? It's working on the elements of your life that are not necessarily pleasing to God or reflect Jesus, but it's molding you and pulling you into a place to where you will be more like God or be closer to God. But it depends on what decision you make. That's why it's so important that your heart must be fixed in the right place. Amen. You know, it happens at every age of life. You know, if we look at our young people and you're making decisions about school or relationships and, you know, going through, is this the right person? And sometimes the pain is real. Then we go into the circumstances of life and we're making decisions and you're dealing with jobs and do I take this job? Do I go to school? Do I get this promotion? And then maybe you have a plan and it just doesn't work out and you have to come to the point, even sometimes through tears, that you get on your face before God and you choose that you are going to follow God and walk with God rather than this right here. I'm just throwing in the towel. Let me tell you something. God is with you in the worst shape. God has a plan to bring you out. And I love this scripture over here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5 and number 6. It says this, let your moderation, that's self-control. Now, folks, this is tough. It's tough for me. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means be worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, folks, this what this talking about is this peace of God. It's when the world looks at you and they say, I don't know how in the world you can be going through that and still retain, just like Job did, your integrity. How can you be going through what you're going through and still have peace with God? Why haven't you denied God? Why do you continue to believe in God if that's the situation that you're in? Because you believe and you know that the Word of God is true. And ultimately for you and I as Christians, I'm going to heaven. You're saved, you're going to heaven. Where real people do real things and they enjoy real life that's greater than this life because there's no sin, there's no trouble, there's no devil. But what about today? Here's what I want you to understand. If God made man from the dust of the earth and he breathed life into him, he took him, put him to sleep, made a woman suitable. The word says meet, but it means right for him. Okay? God had a plan from the very beginning for man and woman. Then you look down through the ages and you see how God blessed them. And every time God made a promise, he kept his word. And he told them, if you'll just follow me, I'll bless you if you'll just follow me. You study the word of God today and you find that every word of God, every promise of God has been kept. You can't study the word of God and find where God has not kept his promises. And when I look at what's going on today, I look at the way that God has blessed this nation. I believe that this nation is here because God wanted us to be here for this time for a specific purpose. And I look at it, I thank God. Sometimes my problems seem so big to me, but it's so little to you. Because you see everything and you know everything, and God, your plan, it's perfect even though I don't see it. But my heart's got to be fixed. It's got to be fixed in that place, because if it's not, the circumstances and the troubles that I face will push me away from the one, the only one that can actually help me when I'm in the most difficult time, in the most difficult place, which is this. Do not leave the only resource that you have in life that will not change. Do you know that circumstances in life change? You know, when my children grow up and they move away, now here's the way it's supposed to work. They're supposed to grow up, get a job, pay their own bills, get their own house. That's the way it's supposed to work, okay? I don't want them going away 40, 50 years old, coming back, bringing a clan with them. That's not God's plan. But here's what I've told them. Told my daughter, told my son, told my other son. I said, I'm your daddy. She's your mama. You might have people in your life that are with you today and you think they're going to be there tomorrow. They may be, they may not be. But no matter where you go, no matter what you do, we're going to be here. Long as I'm alive, you can call me. Because I'm not going to change. My love for you is not going to change. You know, in our lives, what we need to understand is regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of how difficult it is, God is there. And the last thing that people need to do, because I've seen this before, I can remember just a couple of years ago over at Weiss Lake, there was a little five-year-old boy that slipped off the bank into the water. And there were prayer requests that went up for him. And there were people that were praying. And they showed him laying in the hospital bed in the ICU. And they had all kind of tubes in him. And behind him on the wall, there were little writings and little prayer requests. And there was a mother that was there holding his hand that was just probably in her 20s. And now, folks, if you've never been there, thank God that you've never been there. But my family's been there. I went and sat by the bedside of loved ones that were, in my opinion, going to leave too early. I believe we could talk about it and go through the room and realize that all of us have had this test of faith in our life. But I can remember when the little five-year-old boy died and the mother went on to Facebook and she posted this. She said, "I have not lost my faith, and you don't lose your faith. Because although we don't understand it, my son is with the Lord and we're going to see him again." And I want to tell you something, Christian. It is important that you get your heart fixed today. Amen. So that when you're in the most difficult times in life, you do not separate from the only resource that you have in life that will not change. God will not change. We also, and I'm going to try to move on, we need to get fixed in the area of our critics. If you look over here at the 57th chapter in the 4th through the 6th verse, here's what he says. He says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is sharp as a sword." You see, what we think, oh, if I serve God, everybody's going to love me. Everybody's going to appreciate me. Nobody's ever going to say anything bad about me. That's not what, no. What the truth is people are going to criticize you. You know, when you fail, they're going to remind you that you failed. You know, the whole concept of church is it's a hospital for sinners. Now, get a hold of that. Jesus said, "I came not for those that are whole, but for those that are sick." Why is it that sometimes when people fail, and I've actually had people say this to me, "You know, I failed. I feel more comfortable down here with my friends at the bar than I do the people at the church." If there's anybody in the house that wasn't lost before you got saved, maybe you need to preach and I need to sit out. "Such were some of you, but ye are washed." Now, let me tell you something. I don't give you no excuse to live like the devil and think it's all right either. Now, if that's your problem, you're on the opposite side of what I'm preaching about. But we're going to have critics. Some people won't like you no matter what. I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, "Well, you know, we believe God is sending us to another church." I said, "Well, you go to another church." But most of the time, I'm going to tell you all what I've seen. 90% of the people that I've seen leave this church, 90% since I've been here, that are on our inactive members list are not serving anywhere. Some of them have become alcoholics. Some of them are doing drugs. Some of them used to serve God regularly. They're not going anywhere. What happens in their life is this. God begins to squeeze them and deal with them. And rather than getting in an altar and getting right with God, they get their feelings hurt and run off. And where do they run? They run to the world. And I've said this, well, not everybody likes my preaching. I've had people come up on the porch and say, "Boy, that guy preaches strong. Maybe they need to get saved." I heard a preacher say one time, they said to him, "You know, preacher, if you keep preaching that way, you're going to run somebody off." And this is what he said. This is another one of those write it down statements. He said, "Where do you run somebody that's one heartbeat out of hell?" You know, I've had to deal with it. Critical words, and even the worst, is betrayal of confidence. Now, folks, I've not experienced that, but I've counseled with people who have. And the worst hurt you can have is the kind of hurt that comes from those that you think that you can trust. You know, if we understand what God's Word says, and I've said this before, when people talk about me, let them talk. Here's my fear. They'll say something that's true.
Amen.
Lies don't hurt you.
Amen.
Y'all ever seen these political candidates, and they're up, and they're running, and they're high, and they're this, and they're that, and then somebody comes, and they says, well, I know this about them, and this, and this, and then it ain't long that they've give up. And I thought, well, if they're not guilty, they just need to charge on.
Right.
You know why they quit? Because they're guilty. If you look at this 57th chapter in the 6th verse, here's what it says. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Here's what I want you to understand. God knows how to deal with people. He's not called me or you to be his police. It's not my job to go and try to straighten people out. I just preach the word and love people. And if they don't love Jesus, I can't make them. But what generally happens is when somebody's digging a pit for somebody else, they generally fall into it. I had a situation recently. I saw some circumstances befall a person that was very critical of others and even made some decisions that I thought were bad. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I see them right in the same place that they have actually placed a lot of people. And she quickly said to me, but we're not going to rejoice in it. And I said, no, we're not. You know, when you see somebody that's in a bad situation, or you see them maybe being critical of somebody else and they find themselves there, don't glory in it. It might be you there that's next. And what we want to do is do everything we can with every circumstance and possibility of life to bring people back to a right relationship with God. Do you know that that's why a preacher preaches? Get them saved and then let's grow in our relationship
Amen.
With God. The last, we need to be fixed in the area of our celebrating. Folks, I want to worship. There are some times that I just, you know, that I just, it's just me and God. I want to worship. You know, happiness is based on happening. Sometimes things happen in our life that we're not happy about. We're not happy about the circumstances of life, the health issues, the state patrol getting behind us. Lord knows that tears my nerves up. I'm not happy about the fender benders. I'm not happy about having a new boss that's placed over me that don't know what I know. Now, I'm sure none of y'all had any of that stuff. But there's a lot of things I'm not happy about. But joy comes from being in a right relationship with God where your heart is fixed in the right place. And what that will allow you to do is even in the midst of your circumstances, you can still worship Him because you know Him and you know that His promises are true. So you rejoice in your relationship with God in spite of your circumstances. And we need to learn how to praise God before the storm. Listen, in order to be able to praise Him in the storm. Now, in order for that to happen, Jesus must be Lord of your life. Not just the fixer of your problems. See, a relationship requires time. A relationship that you must be in, that you must desire to have. Because without praise and worship, the darkness of your storms will overwhelm you. In Psalms chapter 91, verse 2, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Now, folks, I want to tell y'all something. Bad times come to good people. I can remember when my dad was sick, and I'm going to close in just a minute. We're going to get a song, Brother Jeff. But I can remember going and seeing him, and my dad wanted to be in church. He went to church till he couldn't make it anymore. But I can remember his relationship with God. He had COPD. was so strong, he got to where, of course, he was sleeping. Last time he was able to sit up and take his Bible, he got the Word, and he asked my sister for the Bible, and he sat down, and he taught them a lesson from the Word of God. You know what we want to do? We want to say, well, God, where are you at? Right there. Right there. And I can remember last time I helped him, he was trying to stand up, and I was standing behind him holding him. And he looked over his shoulder at me, and he said, son, do you have any scripture on your heart? You know what he was asking me? Do you know what you're going to preach at my funeral? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, I can go down a list of people that were members of this church that were faithful to the things of God, that to the very end had their heart fixed. Why it matters is because we're going to stand before God and our relationship with Him must first and most importantly must be fixed. Here's the question. Do you know Him? Is your relationship with God fixed? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved by the grace of God and you have a path and a plan in eternity to dwell with Him? God wants you. But your relationship's got to be fixed. He said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. Because right now, God is doing His part. Matthew 11:28 says this. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God spoke to you. Would you please come?